Welcome to the Hacking Happy Podcast. My name is Penny Lacaso, and I'm the world's first happiness hacker on a bold mission to teach 10 million women how to flourish on their terms by 2025. The Hacking Happy Podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This podcast is designed to help you reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel more of it towards injecting more joy, more presence, more calm, and more meaning into each day. If that sounds like something you could use a little more of, let's get started. Hello, beautiful happiness hackers, and welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy Podcast. Today, we are continuing our series around presence to support the campaign that we've been running around Wonder Woman versus the present woman. And I'm excited today to have joining us Divya Darling, who is not only a neuroscientist, but she's a transcendental brain trainer. Welcome, Divya.
Thank you. So good to be here with you today, Penny.
I'm very curious to unpack what a transcendental brain trainer does and what that means. But before we do, I'm going to start where I start every podcast. And the question I love to ask is, tell us who you are as a human being.
Yes, a human being. It's quite potent that your focus is on the presence versus Wonder Woman, because as a human being, for me, I often come back to, like, are we human beings or human doings? Mm-hmm. And a human being for me is a wave of energy that is able to be moved with the flow of the current. And what I mean by that is available for life force energy to direct the flow of life. And so my life is unfolded in the most magical and miraculous ways because of my commitment to keeping that definition as broad as possible, a human being, like I'm as I be in my life and in the world. Yes, okay, I can tell you about, I've just completed my third move, continents, but this is just life carrying me. And in through all the different ways in my work with visionary entrepreneurs as a transcendental brain trainer, again, it happened organically. It wasn't something that I set out to do. It's just the unfolding of what happened as I was present moment by moment to what was turning up in front of me.
So I love that it's because I feel like what you've given is like a perspective on what it means to be human. But if you had to use specific words to describe who you are as a human being, what words would you use?
I would say I am a truth seeker. I am a philosopher. I would say I am committed to consciousness and evolving in every possible way. These are some of the words that I would use. I'm a student and teacher of yoga and the mysteries, a lover of nature and laughter and life and intimacy with life, with ourselves, with our life. Yeah.
So share with us, what does it mean to be a transcendental brain trainer? Because it's perhaps a term that some of our listeners may not have come across.
It's something that I created. So about a decade ago when I started in this line of work. So transcendental. So to transcend is to elevate beyond. So transcendental is to have the focus on what is beyond, what is above, what is higher than. Here's where you can cue that sound, the soundtrack of the Bring Me a Higher Love song. So it's that transcendental brain training. Most people think that we have one brain because we live in a very head brain dominant society, and most people just operate from their head brain. But in truth, we have three brains because a brain is a complex adaptive neural network, and our head heart, and gut are all bona fide brains, complex adaptive neural networks. So when these three brains are in alignment with each other, we experience the most epic, we call it coherence, which then leads to wise decision making that we are each vessels of, you know, we're each conduits of infinite intelligence. And the more that we can be acquainted with that and connected to that life force energy, the more our decisions will be in alignment with the truth of who we are, so that we don't find ourselves years down the line pursuing paths, somebody else's definition of success. Most of the people I work with, they come to me because they have already achieved their idea of success that they bought into.
Yep.
It wasn't actually truly theirs. It was one that imposed upon them from the society and the world that we live in. So when we start to internally reference, we start to question. And then we can learn the tools and strategies to create coherence within our energy fields. And then that's when life gets epic, next level.
So many things I want to touch on that you've just spoken about. The equilibrium, though, if we start with the equilibrium between the three brains and getting ourselves out of our heads and connecting in with the heart and the gut brain, like, because for me, that's where the true presence has kind of appeared, right? Because I find that it's so easy to let the rational brain guide our life, and the rational brain more often than not is full of shoulds. It's full of what the expectations of others are and what we think we should be doing in order to be seen, as you say, the external validation, as, you know, good mothers, good employees, good business owners, healthy, happy, all of those sorts of things. How does one, what's a simple way to start to cultivate that head, heart, gut connection, to really listen to the other brains within our body?
Well, first thing I would say is already noticing, it's like, okay, I default to my head, right? And that would be the case for most people. So firstly, acknowledging yourself for awareness of that would be something to start with. And then when there's the recognition, oh, that's what's happening, let that be the trigger and let that be the cue to just start by putting your hand over your heart and feeling the connection from the palm to the heart. We do an infinity loop in multiple brain integration, and we start at the heart and we end at the heart. And so to attune to the heart is to connect with it and ask it directly, what do you truly feel about it? What do you truly feel is important? So starting to make decisions from a more heart-centered place is recognizing that each of these different brains will have different intelligence, right? Mm-hmm. But if we have one brain that's dominant, it's kind of like they're not really allowing the other brains to have a voice at the table. Now, the way the multiple brain integration practices is we go from the heart to the head, then we weave that wisdom back into the heart, and then we come down to the gut, consult the gut, and weave that wisdom back into the heart. And that with that infinity loop of connecting to each of these intelligences, then we ask the question, what would wisdom have me do? I have a freebie guiding through this meditation on the Illuminate the Infinite site, so I can send that to...
Yeah, we'll pop that in the show notes. That would be great.
Yeah. I'll send you the link to the show notes, and all listeners can have access to this way of sourcing deeper clarity. Starting the practice is really just about starting to attune to the wisdom of the heart and know that the language of the heart will be different, right? It will sound different. It will feel different. What comes to me, I'm reminded of this experience I had not too long ago when I'd gone away with friends on a retreat, and they had a sunrise photo shoot scheduled. I woke up in the morning, and the mind, the head brain, was like, let's go, let's get into it. You know, they're super excited. And then when I tuned in to the heart, and like the body was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I am so tired. I just need to rest. And to experience the difference in that, because the heart will communicate more slowly, more often than not, it will be softer. It will be more slow. And everyone's is different. Everyone's intelligence communicates mm-hmm. differently. But our brains tend to be like, come on, next, fast. And body intelligence is not quite like that. And so it was interesting for me to really feel the contrast of how like ready and roaring the head was like, let's get into it, let's go. And the body was like, oh, please let me sleep. Because it had been a long journey of traveling to get to this island.
So I love this. And it's funny because, I mean, I play a lot with this with clients, like what's your head saying, what's your heart saying, what's your gut saying? Like let's have a question that we want to answer and let's look at how different the answers are if we're connecting with the different parts of the body, which is always fascinating, right? But what you've just alluded to expand on that is that the way that each of these intelligences or these brains speak is different. So it's a different language, it's a different energy, it's a different pace. But even like you're saying, I would say awareness is the first step to change. Even just connecting in and becoming aware of the different language between the three, the different pace, the different energy is powerful because then you become attuned to saying, what's speaking right now? Like based on the energy, based on the language, based on the pace, I know these different components. Who's speaking? And I always say, who's got the balance of power? Because what we always find, like you're talking about, in the current environment, most of us give a significant, well, we give the power to the head and it drives everything, which leaves us disconnected from our bodies, disconnected from ourselves and what brings us joy, and equally disconnected, I think, from what I'm hearing from others as well.
Absolutely. And when I'm helping clients, I can tell which brain is more dominant based on the language that they're using, because there are certain cues, you know, if they'll, I think more often than not, they're in here, feel will be the heart and no will be the gut. So certain cues to pay attention to, we can listen, you know, listen to ourselves and know when we're out of balance in some way. And of course, bring ourselves back.
Think, feel, know, like as cue words.
Think feel
is the heart and know is the gut speaking. I love that. It's interesting because I've been studying compassionate inquiry trauma therapy with Dr. Gabor Maté out of the US, and just doing that therapy every single week in triads with my peers who are also studying, and just how aware in doing that work, like you say, you start to notice the language people use and the word think. And now I know, I'm so used to knowing that think is in the head that when I hear myself speak it, I think, I'm like, oh, I'm in my head again. Drop in. And just like you say, it's not about having to change things. The awareness is often enough to start to shift the behavior or shift the focus. And like, that's a beautiful place to start and so practical and accessible to all of us. So thank you. I am curious about what the word presence means to you.
Presence. Presence is, for me, the state of being fully absorbed and immersed in the moment of now.
Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? How do you specifically do that? Like and I always think this is interesting, I had a conversation, again, in one of these peer groups last night where I was doing therapy, and I'll be completely honest, I've never said this before. They said, what do you want to work on? And I said, I feel like a fraud. I've never said that out loud, and I feel like a fraud because I spend all this time teaching people how to be more present, how to inject more joy into their lives, and I still feel like I'm not good enough at this. Right. And this is my story. And I know that I'm human, and I know it's not about being perfect. This is a practice. But, you know, I think it's different for all of us. What I'm seeing in my work is that how presence manifests in the everyday is different for all of us, and giving ourselves permission to allow ourselves to, one, practice, two, know that it's not going to be perfect, and three, find our own way to bring presence in is a magical way to bring more of it. But I'm curious of your practices, because you're in this domain like me, you do this work. Doesn't mean we're perfect.
No, of course not. But actually, I think that the greatest liberation is the first point that you made, which is practice.
Mm.
And coming back to, like, presence is a practice. Now, here's the ironic thing about it, right? It's hilarious to me. It's like, consider the question. Have you ever not been present? Prison is like here now. Have you ever not been have you ever not been here now? In an absolute sense, have you ever not been
in a
here
physical
now?
Sense? In a physical sense, no. In a mental sense, absolutely.
So what I do is come back to who's the one who knows that? Who knows? Who's the one who's aware I wasn't present? Because that one was present. The one that knows I wasn't present was present. So there's always, this is transcendental brain training. There's always a meta level. There's always a higher perspective. And from that higher perspective, there's a recognition of like, oh, well, there's someone watching. There's someone who knows that I wasn't present. That's reporting back. And that's you. Mm-hmm. That's you. The person that's reporting back saying, you know, I say person, it's the presence, the entity, the awareness, the consciousness that's saying there wasn't there, knew that. So there had to have been some level of presence there to know that.
That's such an interesting. Yeah.
You with me?
That's really, really interesting because I'm so, I have to laugh. We're talking about presence. I thought I don't know whether you can see. My big black Labrador is here and it's morning here and you're in Lisbon, so it's evening where you are. She's normally out walking with me at this time and she's got her board. She just keeps dropping it at my feet. She's ready to play. So she's fully present. But back to your point, I just had to share that because I've got this distraction running around my feet. To your point, I read a quote the other day and I loved it and it was so simple and it said, be where your feet are. I was like, oh. I'm just going to leave that in my head as a mantra, be where your feet are. Because like you say, we know when we're not present. I'm constantly calling myself out on it. And even that in and of itself is helpful because I must say, the more I talk to people like you, the more I do this work, the more I practice. I definitely, even just in the last 6 months, in some of the experiences that I've had and some of the learning that I've done, I definitely have noticed a shift in the amount of time in the day that I'm present.
And so that's something that with any practice, if we have a way of tracking and measuring in a useful way, one of the tools I teach is called the DIFF model, and it's to calibrate to the difference when we're embarking upon a new practice. And so what we want to focus on is the duration, the intensity, and the frequency. It's an acronym for duration, intensity, and frequency. And when we're paying attention to these things, what we start to notice is actually with any practice, if we're, you know, sincere and devoted to our practice, what we'll find is the duration increases. Like I can stay present for longer periods of time before the mind wanders, right? Before thought pops in and says, the mind will offer some suggestion of like, oh, this would be great right now, go somewhere else. So that's the duration, the length of time before that happens, the intensity. How present is the presence? How absorbed am I in the moment of now? Mm-hmm. And the frequency of like, basically how often there are moments of that or distractions of that. What we want to calibrate to is towards what is desired. So how present am I? To use that as a model for tracking presence rather than the deviations, because our minds in brain training, what we teach is that we have a natural inbuilt negativity bias, right? You know, this as hacker, this is why we need to retrain. We have a natural inbuilt negativity bias in it, and it applies for when we're embarking on a new skill. What we tend to notice is the times when we deviate, when we're, you know, we tend to notice the quote unquote failures. I mean, this is the human brain. This is how what we notice. We need the tools and strategies to support ourselves in coding in the opposite, you know, rewiring the opposite, so we can then feel more encouraged to continue the practice, because I can tell you from experience, the fruits are sweet.
I'm just going to interrupt for a moment and ask you, do you long to be more present, especially with the ones you love, but you don't know where to start and you're not confident you can do it alone? Are you ready to surrender the exhausting layers of should and step into reconnecting with what truly makes you feel joyful, provides you with meaning, and allows you to feel more alive? If the answer is a hell yes, the Present Woman Challenge was made for you. A 14-day challenge designed to empower you to reclaim your mindset, recharge your soul, and cultivate lasting joy and connection. Think sustainable, evidence-based action delivered to you in bite-sized pieces to reduce the mental load and connect you into the moments that matter more often. For all of the details and to secure your spot, check out the link in show notes. Now, back to our podcast. Without a doubt, I completely concur, noticing, as I say, even just in the last 6 months, a shift. The sense of grounding, a lot of people say to me, when you speak, you sound so calm. Your voice, like on the podcast, I'm a speaker, you just sound so calm. And I could not attribute that to anything other than the practices that I employ to be present, because I can tell you 10, 15 years ago when I was in a different life in a corporate world, I was not like this. I can definitely. So I love what you said in terms of the DIF model. I love, you know, this focus away from what I'm, like I was saying, I'm a fraud. You know, I'm not doing enough. It's not good enough. If I looked at duration, did you say intensity? Was it? Intensity and frequency. Those three words give me a compass to know that I'm definitely, definitely improving in this space. So I love that. And tell us, what can we learn from neuroscience about the benefits of presence? Give us some of the benefits based on your expertise.
I'm going to speak a little bit about meditation, because to me, meditation is presence in how I understand meditation. When we're changing our brain waves and we're slowing down, right? We're getting out of these beta brain waves, fast move, go, go, cognitive activity, and just like absorbed in the moment. And what we know from, I'll share some studies. One of the things that come into my awareness is what I imagine would be useful for your audience's happiness hackers is a desire for improved life satisfaction and improved sense of well-being. We know this from brain research as well, neuroscience research, that meditation, which is practice of cultivating presence, is linked to these increase in serotonin and dopamine, where we're having more reward chemicals and mood stabilizing chemicals. This is what serotonin and dopamine are. And we're able to then, as a result, feel happier. We're more regulated. We're more balanced. So that's from a neurotransmitter perspective. Also from a neuroanatomical perspective, our brains literally change. We have younger brains when we meditate regularly, consistently, right? It's something that like kind of stops aging in the brain in the same way. So we're increases our longevity. I'm simplifying a little bit, but these are a few things that come into my awareness in this moment as you ask the question, what else can we learn from neuroscience about presence? Well, I would actually say there's enough research out there. We're not doubting the impact and the benefits. It really comes down to people knowing that the practice is worth investing their time, energy in. And what's required for that is to overcome the narrative that says, I don't have time, I'm too busy, I have too many other things going on, or, you know, there's the mind that's competing for attention and activity to say, actually, I'm just going to sit in stillness. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to empty out and fill up in this way, in presence. And the reason why I suggest meditation is because it's like we train in yoga, we train on the mat for life in the world, right? Where we make the shapes and postures on the mat, not because there's anything special about downward facing dog, but if we're used to putting our bodies in different shapes, then when we're in the world, moving through our lives in the world, we find we have greater resilience and equanimity, ability to stay steady when we find ourselves in different shapes in the world. This happens. This is life, right? Oh,
I mean, I've just come from yoga this morning and just doing Warrior Three, and the teacher said, you know, this is a balancing pose. How important balance is, not here, but in life. Like, how do you find balance if you can't embody it? And I was like, oh, my God. And you know, like, you're there, you're standing on one leg and you're like, this is hard. And I keep, like, sometimes, like, some mornings I can stand for hours on one leg, and other mornings I'm wobbly and I lose my balance. And it also teaches you that acceptance, as you say, of practice, of not every day am I going to be good at this. Not everything is going to work out, but I can trust the process and know that it will be okay. I'm really curious. I am a massive fan of meditation. I've been doing it for over 20 years. But what I hear a lot of is people say, I've tried that, doesn't work for me. And I feel, and this is my story, but I feel that's because people find it challenging and therefore think they're not good at it. And I think, you know, I would say, I've been doing this for 20 years. And again, some days I really struggle. Other days I'm like, completely there. Like, it's never going to be perfect. So I'm really curious, what advice would you have to someone who says, I've tried this and it doesn't work for me?
Yeah, well, the idea that it doesn't work comes from, as you said, the idea that there's a way that it should work and it's supposed to work a certain way, and some subconscious idea of, I'm not doing this right. Mm-hmm. Because there's the idea that the mind will stop thinking thoughts, which is not the case, because the mind's job is to think thoughts. And perhaps eventually it will stop thinking thoughts, but that is in relation to how many of our somatic patterns we've cleared, right? So how many, because the thoughts bubble up from the energy. Right. So based on what's going on in our energy field and how much completion we've had of emotional patterns, if we're storing a lot in our bodies, then of course we're going to have more thoughts. But the more that we let that energy move through, complete these energy, like these emotions, then the thoughts slowly, slowly over time begin to dwindle and disappear. But regardless of whether there are thoughts or there are not thoughts, the thoughts are the clouds. The meditation is abiding as the sky. It's remembering, it's the practice of remembering who you truly are. Mm. And no different than the practice of recognizing, well, who's the one who knows you weren't present? So who's the one, like, the idea of, I find it laughable when someone's like, I'm not good at meditation, because it's nothing, it can't be good at it. It's like saying, like, I'm not good at breathing. You know, it's like there are techniques, and no doubt there's multiple levels, right? So I'm going to address it from both. So there's the level at which, like, okay, there are certain techniques, and you can go breath works, strategies and things like that, and you breathe in certain ways. Sure, of course. And yet, in this moment, I am breathing. So the idea of being good at it is a very kind of, it's a self-imposed limitation. And so my invitation to anyone who subscribes to that is to let that story go. And what you can invite yourself to, and this is such a tricky thing for the linear mind, because the linear mind only knows duality, and the linear mind only knows, like, I'm good at this, I'm bad at this, and only knows labels and boxes and things like that. So if you were to witness without commentary, this is a practice we do. I host silent retreats, and one of the practices that we do at these retreats is to pay attention to the environment and just notice what we notice. His eyes open. Notice what we notice the moment before the mind says, oh, that's a this, or that's a that. Or there's a sound that comes in and the mind labels, it's, oh, that's a this. You know, the moment before the label comes, if we can just linger in that space and just in there. That's what I would invite.
Mm. You assist visionary entrepreneurs to gain clarity, focus, and leverage their strengths to achieve success on their terms, which I love that it's on their terms, not on someone else's definition of success. What are some of the tips you can share with our listeners that will help them leverage presence for greater impact in their life? It's perhaps the most powerful.
Yeah, the most powerful and practical tip. When we release commentary, what we do is we transcend the narrative, like, of instead of going from I'm not good enough to I am good enough, which is where a lot of people play in the space of, okay, tell yourself the opposite story. And I did that for a long time as well. And I'm not saying that that's not valuable. There is value in that. And also, what I find incredibly impactful and potent and immediately effective that trickles down across all levels of our thinking, feeling, and being is when we come to the place of no conversation. It's like, I don't pay attention to the chats. I just don't pay attention to the chats. So it's like, if there's commentary about, like, you're a fraud. So one way of approaching it would be the opposite, would be like, oh, you know, you're improving and whatever. And there's, you know, the diff models of strategy for that and calibrating to that. But the most potent tip I would say for anyone who's available to grasp it in this moment is let go of the chats. Like, if there's chats about, so like, because they're immediately what's happening is they're introducing a level of static into the field because there's commentary on the experience. And when there's commentary on the experience, we're not fully present. So it's just come to the space where there's no commentary.
And maybe the way to do that, like, I'm just like, because I completely agree. How do you, like, but my head goes, well, how do I let go of the commentary? And I think of the quote that we went back to, and it's like, it could be as simple as saying, I am where my feet are. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But I mean, especially in my psych studies, the more if we tell ourselves, I'm going to ignore that. I'm not going to notice the white elephant. I'm not going to listen to the commentary. It's almost like our brain goes there more often.
Yeah, of course. Resistance creates persistence. So it's not a bad, and that's a core aspect of transcendental brain training, is that we don't want to discard or discount any aspect of the human experience, and thinking is one of them, right? And simultaneously, what we want to do is offer tools and strategies to transcend and elevate beyond the things that keep us feeling limited or stuck in any way. And so most commentary will do that. Like, I'm not going to say most, I'm going to say all, because even if it's the commentary that's like, you know, I'm not a fraud, like, we're still limiting ourselves to the truth of the infiniteness that we are. Well, yeah, it starts with being aware of that, knowing that, practicing, and using the senses, the silent retreats that I host, the six senses retreats, what we do is we direct the awareness to one sense at a time. So it's like, one day we're focusing, what are we seeing? What are we hearing? What are we feeling? And what we do is we kind of layer upon those skills by honing in. If I can pay extra attention, what are all the sounds that I'm picking up on? And so using our senses is a really profound way to do that. You know, when you say be where your feet are, that's, you know, it's a one way, be here in this moment, bring your awareness here. Yeah, that's a strategy. So, I mean, of course, it doesn't work when we say, don't do this. We want to give the mind a useful instruction. When I say, let go of the chats, what's, you know, you're letting go of them. You're actually, like, kind of the same way, you know, you have your keys in your hand and then you let go of it. You kind of are holding on to it, right? Like, the hand opens, the keys fall. And it's like that, you know, the can opens, the keys fall. And there's like, well, how are you not holding your keys anymore? Well, yeah, you let go of them. So it's the same kind of process of, okay, the thoughts come and then you choose where to put your attention and your focus.
Mm. I'm going to close out with a couple of questions or a couple of statements that I would like you to complete. I've been playing with this a lot lately with interviewees and I love it. So I want you to tell us, Divya, or complete the sentence, presence is...
I think that's potent sin. Presence is everything. Presence is everything.
Presence feels like
infinite expansion. Presence feels like infinite expansion.
How about I practice presence by?
I practice presence by attuning to my heart and remembering who I am.
Self-compassion looks like.
self-compassion looks like presence.
Divya, where can people find out about you and the work that you're doing?
DiviaDarling.com is my website, and also Illuminate the Infinite is my body of work in the world. So both of those are my digital home places that you can find me, and on the social channels. I'm soon to be starting a YouTube channel very shortly. So that's my, so I'll send you the links for the show notes.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you, and thanks for doing it in your evening over in Lisbon.
Yeah, my joy. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Reviews are so important to empowering more beautiful humans just like you to lead wholehearted and flourishing lives. If you enjoyed your listen, I'd love if you could take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. If there was something that resonated from this conversation, I invite you to take a screenshot and share your thoughts on social media. Tag me in so I can respond. If you've got a friend you feel needs to hear this episode, copy and paste the link and drop them a message now. It might be exactly what they need. Until next time, happiness looks good on you.